You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a privilege to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Questions are coming in, indeed, from all around the world. The number, as always, to dial 888-ASK-HANK is numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We will go to your calls in just a little bit later on in the broadcast, but I want to deal with a subject that so often we have become apathetic towards. I'm talking about the subject of abortion, which is the painful killing of an innocent human being. I say painful because the methods employed involve burning, dismembering, crushing. I say killing in that from the very beginning, that which is terminated fulfills the criteria necessary for establishing the existence of biological life. Innocent, in that the preborn child deserves protection, not capital punishment. And a human being, in that the child who is killed is the offspring of human parents and has a totally distinct genetic code. Since Roe v. Wade, there have been some 55 million abortions. And if this is really the painful killing of an innocent human being, that number should shock us back into sensibility. Just last year, 1 million abortions. And I feel that the apathy that so many feel is not only in the secular community, but is now permeated the Christian community as well. And therefore, I want to spend a little time today talking to Cindy Martin Morgan. She's the daughter of the late Dr. Walter Martin. He is my predecessor at the Christian Research Institute and the founder of the Institute. She has written pro-life songs, and she has now written a novella, a small novel. It's called Rescue Me. It's available on Amazon Kindle, and you can check it out on the web at equip.org. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Hank. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, it's always wonderful to have you on the broadcast as well. And I'm particularly appreciative, and I've mentioned this to you many times, your passion for this subject knows no bounds. And I want you to tell the audience why this is, for you, a singularly important issue.
Well, really, I think that the Lord just, you know, many years ago, I would say when I was in my 20s or so, early 20s, the Lord just really broke my heart over the reality of what abortion is and the great sin against Him that it is. And I just feel like He gave me just a glimpse of the agony. I think that this causes pain for God in such a way that we could never understand it or possibly even manage that amount of knowledge. But I think that God is so grieved by this act. And I really feel like he just opened my eyes to that, to at least some of the grief, so that I could understand how important life is to Him. And, you know, once God does that in your heart, it's just you can't turn from it. And I always thought abortion was wrong. It wasn't that. It was just that he really made it real to me that these were people, these were individuals and their lives were being taken from this earth.
People created in the image of God, and,
yes.
and therefore it is so serious to take the life of someone that is created in the image and likeness of God. Cindy, tell me why it is that you have seemingly a real passion to inoculate young people through your music and your writing on the subject.
Well, I believe that I've written the book for, you know, ages 11 to 14. I want to try to instill in them the truth of how valuable they are to our Creator, to how precious they are to God, reinforce the truth in those who already know and instill it in those who may not know. Because I really believe that we should try to help them to wrap their heads around how important life is so that they won't do away with their own children. And I think that that's one of the things that has driven me in the music and with the book as well, to try to touch their lives in such a way that they never forget their value, as is spoken of in Psalm 139.
And this book, this novella, is written in such a way that the power of story impacts people. So it's not just a treatise in cold academic terms, but it is a story that grips you. Tell us a little bit about the story.
Well, the main character, Suri, she has always wanted a sibling, and her sibling does get aborted, and this is a grief for her early in her life. And this is another issue, too, that I don't think really gets discussed by anyone, is the fact that siblings are being killed. As what, you know, these children, usually they have a brother or sister, not always, but they often do. And the siblings go through life having lost that sibling by way of abortion as well. But my focus mainly has been to help these kids realize that their children matter. And I guess that's really the main thought behind the whole story. And Suri travels through time to try to rescue that sibling that she never had. And there's another element to the story, too, where her mother, her mother's life suddenly hangs in the balance as well. And so there's literally a mad dash through time that she tries to go and rescue this sibling that God has given her but was taken away through an abortion.
Again, the power of story that draws you in to the novella, which is available. It's titled Rescue Me, available on Amazon Kindle. Check it out at equip.org. You can see it right on our banner page. Talk for a moment, Cindy, about how a woman who has had an abortion can deal with this through the power of the cross.
Well, I really believe that how we talk to others, you know, no matter what truth we're sharing, and you do this so well, Hank, you always share the truth in love. And I really think it's important that when someone's had an abortion, I think it's important to share the gospel, the truth to them in love, in such a way that we urge them to turn to the Lord and to lay their sin down at the foot of the cross and know that Christ can forgive that sin, and they can be free of the pain and the anguish of what it has done to their lives. And there is pain and there is anguish, and we don't often hear of that, but it exists. And I believe that they can find comfort and strength through Christ, and they can be forgiven, and they can go on and be used by the Lord to help save others.
Let me give you an opportunity to talk to some of our callers, one or two, that may have gone through the kinds of things we're talking about right now. Teresa in St. Louis, Missouri. You're on with Cindy Martin Morgan. Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had an abortion when I was younger, and I consider myself a Christian, and I've asked for forgiveness from God, and I believe that He's given it to me, but I don't know how to forgive myself.
Well, Teresa, one thing that you have to remember always, first of all, Jesus loves you, and he's promised to work all things for our good according to his purpose. And that means the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, apart from Christ, we can do no good, and Jesus is our righteousness, and that's where you can find your rest and your peace, is in knowing that Jesus has died for all of our sin. He's died for our wretchedness. And because he's done that, we can forgive ourselves because he forgives us and he loves us, and you can lay it down because it's okay now. It's okay now because Jesus will work it for the good of your child and for your good as well.
And one other thing, Teresa, there is the certain promise that you will be reunited with your child in eternity, and that can give you a great deal of comfort as well. Cindy, talk for a moment about how a Christian can do something in a very positive sense, like you are doing through your books and music, something positive instead of just cursing the darkness, building a lighthouse.
I believe that we all can do something. There's always petitions that need to be signed. There's laws that need to be challenged and new ones that need to be enacted. And we can become involved in that process. But not everybody is called to that piece of it. There's lots of things you can do, but you should find where you can serve in this regard to help others to live. And whether it's working at a crisis pregnancy center or giving them money so that they can help the women that are in crisis that have need of support financially and emotionally. You know, you can go to rallies. You can reach out in ways to women that are hurting in so many ways. And I think it's incumbent upon each of us to do that, to ask the Lord to show us, how can I make a difference that could impact life and eternity? And you know, I really believe that the Lord says to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we all have a responsibility on some level to stand up against this evil. And not all of us can do the same things. I realize not everyone's going to write a pro-life song. Not everybody's going to write a pro-life novella. Not everybody's going to want to go to a rally. But we can all do something, because these are the least of these among us. And we need to be a voice for them, since theirs is not being heard.
Just a word about Planned Parenthood. I quoted Margaret Sanger, the founder, who famously pontificated, "The most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant children or infant members is to kill it." We have seen Planned Parenthood with all the grisly details during the last year. I think oftentimes we live in an era in which we get so much information overload that we forget these things rapidly, but we should be focused on a Holocaust in our own midst.
Yes.
Talk about...
Yes. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, women who want to insist that there should be choice, and that, you know, paramounts everything, is, you know, you have to stop and follow that to its logical conclusion. When does the right to choose end? I mean, if everybody is going to have the right to choose, I mean, look at ISIS and what's happening with that. They want to end the infidels' lives because they don't want our lives. They don't want us to live. And, you know, if their choice to do that matters, you know, we're all in trouble. And the choice to end life that's innocent, made by anyone, puts us all in peril and all in jeopardy, because you have to follow it and ask, where will that end? None of us are really safe. So it doesn't just endanger the children, it endangers ourselves. And that's what people, I think, lose sight of as well. You shouldn't stand for life because you might be in danger, but you need to understand that if you follow us to the conclusion, really, we have a very unstable world, and all of us are at risk, because if you don't stand for life, it can be lost so easily, and we can become the victims of death ourselves.
Again, the book Rescue Me, available on Amazon Kindle. Check it out on our website at equip.org. Cindy, thank you so much for all you're doing and for the passion and clarity that you exude.
Well, thank you, Hank. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be a voice for those who can't speak for themselves.
in Cindy's songs as well. You can find on the web at equip.org a couple of those songs that are very moving. We've played them on the broadcast in the past, Who Will Save the Little Ones, as well as another song that she wrote that at the moment escapes my my memory, but these songs you can find out about on the web at equip.org. Again, the book, Rescue Me, available on Amazon Kindle. Check it out at equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember, when you go to the web, you can find great resources like the Christian Research Journal, the Christian Research Newsletter, and much, much more. Check it out on the web, equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be right back with answers.
C.S. Lewis wrote, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing, my true country, which I shall not find till after death." To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The great difficulty is to get modern audiences to realize that you are preaching Christianity solely and simply because you think it is true. They always suppose you're preaching it because you like it. Now, a clearly maintained distinction between what the faith actually says and what you would like it to have said forces your audience to realize that you are tied to your data just as the scientist is tied by the results of the experiments, that you are not just saying what you like. This immediately helps them realize that what is being discussed is a question about objective fact." To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. The article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Other topics include the theological vision of Pope Francis, Christian hip-hop, death with dignity and the Imago Dei, bears gone wild, responding to attacks on the portrayal of God in the Old Testament. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. As religiously inspired terrorist attacks awaken many from their self-absorbed slumbers and business-as-usual routines, questions of ultimacy begin to loom large. During difficult times, people need biblically informed, critically reasoned, and creatively depicted answers to their questions. C.S. Lewis provides exactly that in Mere Christianity. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Just a reminder, I'm going to be speaking at Grace Life Church in Pineville, North Carolina, right around the corner from our studios. That's going to take place on Wednesday, January 20th, next week, Wednesday again, 6:30 to 7:45 p.m., child care provided. I'm going to be talking about the Bible, not only the fact that it is the infallible repository for redemptive revelation that is a reliable authority, can be trusted, but also talking about the fact that we as Christians must learn how to read or mind the Bible for all its wealth. Again, all of that coming up next week, Wednesday. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brad, listening in Modesto, California, on Bot Radio. Hi, Brad.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
Right on. I just wanted to make a statement real quick about, I believe everybody needs to be aware that we are pro-choice and pro-life, meaning we believe in life and we believe in having choices in our life. But when a man and a woman make a decision whether between the choices of abstinence and sexuality, then they have to expect the consequences of that. Once you become pregnant, that choice, you don't have, there should be no choice of whether you can murder a baby or not. I'm pro-choice, of course, but we need to be educated on what the consequences are for those choices. But also, I wanted to tell the listeners out there about a story I have. Me and my wife, when she was 18, she became pregnant. We knew that, but we didn't have any insurance at the time, and we were referred to Planned Parenthood. And just based on the name alone, you'd think, okay, we're going to get extra help too. And they were very adamant about trying to push abortion on her, even to the point they didn't want me to come in the back with her. But she insisted that I be with her. So, but I had no idea that they were that way until later.
Well, great testimony. Thank you for calling. I think that's instructive for all of us. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Elizabeth. She's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Hank. Hank, I was merely reading my scriptures last week, and I usually read from the King James Study Bible with doctrinal footnotes, but I came across something I couldn't answer, and I checked four other good Bibles on my shelf. And that is in Exodus 4, verses 24 to 26. And that was when Moses was returning to Egypt, and God was angry with him. And it says, and it came to pass at the end that the Lord met him, and he sought to kill Moses. And then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband thou art. So God let him go, and then he just let him go after that. And I'm thinking that maybe she was an Egyptian wife and that's why she said that. But on the other hand, at our church, there's a big deal going on, half standing and saying God never changes his mind and half standing and saying God can change his mind. And it looks like he did here. And I need you to tell me about Zipporah and also what you think of that scripture.
Yeah, she was a Midianite. And what's going on in the passage in Exodus chapter 4 is you have a treatise, as it were, on the subject of circumcision. Circumcision is a sign of the everlasting covenant between God and his people. It is a sign of commitment to God. it symbolizes that the Lord alone was to be trusted and served. And Israel was called out to be a light to the nations. They were to impact the world with a message of redemption. And Moses was called to be the ultimate lawgiver. And yet Moses, as the ultimate lawgiver, was disobedient. He was not willing to do what his Midianite wife would do. And so God was angry with Moses. And as a result of this, he was going to judge Moses. But because circumcision took place and Moses got an object lesson from his wife, God spared his life. And there's no doubt a real sense of repentance that took place in the heart of Moses. And when we repent, God relents. And it isn't so much that God changes his mind. The text is what's called an anthropomorphism. It is talking in a way that you and I can apprehend. And the best analogy that I know of, there are probably better ones, but it's the one that I use most commonly in this regard, is that if you are walking into a stiff headwind, the wind is in your face. If you turn, and that is what repentance is, it is a turn. If you turn, then suddenly the wind is no longer in your face, it is in your back. And the wind, of course, hasn't changed, but you have changed in relationship to the wind. And this most certainly is what happened to Moses. He recognized that he was in disobedience of the very thing that he had been called to do. And the signature of what he was called to do was what he had failed to do. So this story is a story that highlights Moses, but has significant application for every one of us. Now, it is true that God does not deal with this in the same way that he dealt with Moses. This is a non-normative situation. We're not the great lawgiver called out by God. But nonetheless, there are consequences to our actions, there are consequences to our behavior, and all of that will be sorted out in eternity. Not only is there a separation between sheep and goats, but there's also a separation that takes place in terms of judgment for both of them, degrees of reward for the redeemed and degrees of punishment for those who turn on the Lord and do not want a relationship with him in eternity.
Thank you for explaining that, especially about the wind. That analogy makes it very clear, because I just think God never changes. And I kept saying, I don't think he changes his mind. Maybe he decides to do something different, but I don't think it's called changing his mind. I just don't see him doing that. He knows everything.
He does. And the fact that he knows everything, and I've said this many times in the broadcast, is not presuppose that everything is fatalistically determined. You can know something in your past, but the fact that you know it does not mean that you're the causal agent of it. And so God knows all things, but our choices really do matter.
They matter a lot. And just before you go, I want to say, I was listening to that wonderful Cindy talking about abortion. And you know, my birth mom had 19 children, and 12 of us were farmed out to various foster homes, orphanages. Some were adopted, some weren't. And I am just so blessed and grateful that she never turned to abortion.
Wow, what a testimony. I mean, this is not theoretical anymore. I'm talking to the living proof.
Yes, that's right. Praise God. And I just wanted to say that because he deserves all the praise.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you, Hank.
Blessings to you. Amelia next in New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Hank. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I called last night, but I guess it's too late. Well, you're being out of time. But my question is that why is there so many different versions of the Bible? And I have different versions of it because, you know, some are easier to read and some, you know, a little bit more difficult because of the wording. But I just was curious to know why is that. And the second part of that question is, which Bible is like true. I mean, I want to believe that all of them are true, but which one is like the best one to get the best word, you know, message from God?
Sure. The different versions are there for something you alluded to in the prologue to your question, that is accessibility. So some are more accessible than others. If you're reading the New King James Version, it's going to be more accessible than the King James Version. And the reason is because Elizabethan English is something only few people today are conversant with. So what happens is in the newer translations, the same truths are communicated, but in a way that we can access the message more readily. So this is about accessibility, but it's not a change in the message at all. I'll give you another example. There's the NIV and the NASB. One is considered more of a formal equivalency, the other more of a dynamic equivalency. Formal equivalency has to do with more in line with a word-for-word translation from the original languages into the receptor language. A dynamic translation has more to do with a thought-for-thought a translation from the receptor language, from the original languages into the receptor language. So these are just different styles of translation communicating the same thing. I'm Dutch. Dutch is my first language. So there are things that I want to communicate in English to, let's say, a coworker or a friend that I can't really communicate it word for word, because if I did, they wouldn't get it. So I use a thought for thought kind of communication, a number of different words to get across the same meaning. And that's the general idea of what's going on in the various translations. But all of it has as part of it, just the idea of making the text accessible to people. Now, you know, talking about King James English, it may not be accessible to everyone, but it is melodic, it's beautiful, it has a certain rhyme and rhythm to it, a cadence to it. So I love Elizabethan English, and so some of the memorization I do is in the King James Version of the Bible. So it's not that it is no longer without any value. The other thing, though, I'd have to say is that since the King James Version was first commissioned in 1604, then completed in 1611, then went through three different versions just in 1611 alone. But since that time, we have newer and better manuscripts, and they explain certain nuances that were not known at the time of the translation. So translation is always a function of trying to make something more and more perceptible and accurate, but there's nothing missing in any of the text that impinges on any essential Christian doctrine. And as Christians, we say that we hold to the inspiration of Scripture. We're not talking about the translations being infallible. We're talking about the autographa being infallible, and from the translations, we really have a sense of the autographa, because the translation work that we have today is just fantastic. Written about this in more detail in a book called Has God Spoken? You can find it on the web at equip.org. Be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Life without God is like a car without fuel. C.S. Lewis, in his BBC radio talks on mere Christianity, said, "Now God designed the human engine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. The bottom line is, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there." To receive your copy of Mere Christianity, as our thanks for your generosity, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include five differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In an age in which more and more people are apparently inclined to major on the minor, C.S. Lewis wisely guides our focus to mere Christianity. The book Mere Christianity came from talks given by Lewis on BBC Radio during World War II. Many were questioning their traditional faith or seeking a faith they could rationally embrace. So Lewis presented and defended the distilled essence of the faith, what he referred to as mere Christianity. His message speaks to us with profound relevance today, as growing numbers of Americans witness the fabric of society fraying amidst terrorist attacks that jolt our sensibilities, from Paris to San Bernardino. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. C.S. Lewis, during one of his BBC radio talks on Mere Christianity, said, "God and evil both increase at compound interest. That is why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance." Little decisions, like giving through CRI and receiving and reading Mere Christianity, are of infinite importance. Your gift enables us to equip not only you, but help us to continue equipping believers at home and around the world. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your generosity, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And also a reminder to download CRI's Equip app. Just go to equip.org/app. Also inviting you to consider prayerfully joining the monthly CRI support team. When you do, you make a difference in the lives of people quite literally around the world. Also be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member or a friend. You can join on the web at equip.org/donate. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rusty, listening in Cannon, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rusty.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Question about demon-possessed people that they're described in the New Testament, especially in Jesus' ministry. How did these people know they were demon-possessed? I think of the little girl who her father wanted the demon taken out of his little girl, so he knew that there was a demon in her. And why is that not a topic of discussion today?
Well, I think it should be a topic of discussion for those who are in the world. It ought not to be a topic of discussion for Christians, because if you are a believer, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it will never be shared with a demon. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you are either committed and possessed by the King of Kings or and the Lord of Lords, or there's a vacuum in your life that can be filled by the evil one. Now, my contention would be that it is not our job to try to diagnose whether the affliction that we have is the world, the flesh, or the devil. Rather, we are to take the antidote offered to us in Scripture, which is the full armor of God. I call it the covering. If you put on the covering, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. I wrote a book that is titled The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. So I think the real issue becomes the antidote. It's found in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Seth, Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Seth.
Ephesians.
Hello, Seth. I don't think Seth is there. Let's talk for just a moment about mere Christianity. I've often said the book itself has had a transcendent impact on my life. And one of the reasons is that there are so many things that have stuck in my mind as a result of reading Mere Christianity. For example, C.S. Lewis says, enemy occupied territory. That is what this life is. And the story of Christianity is how the king has landed in disguise, and he's calling all of us to a great campaign of sabotage. When we ask people to join the monthly CRI support team and provide resources for them, the reason we're doing that is we want people to be equipped. And most specifically, when it comes to mere Christianity, the way I've described it is in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. Mere Christianity is the essentials by which we must stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. If we are not unified around the essentials, we can quite literally fall for anything. If you divide on non-essentials, that's called being divisive. But there has to be a line of demarcation when it comes to the essentials. Nothing more essential than the deity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The other reason that I'm excited about this book and wanted to start out the year with it is because the contents of Mere Christianity were first given by C.S. Lewis on radio broadcasts. And it was during World War II. Britain had dearly paid in the war. Some 100 tons of high explosives were dropped in British cities, and upwards of 1 million London homes were damaged or destroyed. More than 40,000 civilians were killed. And what they experienced then is similar to what we are experiencing in our own day. I'm not just talking about within America, but I'm talking about within the world. There are struggles and disasters underscoring that this is enemy-occupied territory. And we must be those that make a difference within that context. And the only way we can do that is standing shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, and that is why I am inviting you to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team or make a gift to the ministry. January is always tough. We've had our year end, and oftentimes people give before year end. so that they're able to take advantage of the tax deduction. And January comes around and we can run a deficit if I don't let people know about the opportunity of standing shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll try Seth again. He's listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, Hank. I have a question about salvation. Do you think it's possible that a person can want to be saved and even ask God for salvation, but at the same time not have the faith necessary to actually be saved?
Well, no. I mean, I think that what we do in terms of wanting to be a participant in the kingdom is say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is the prayer given over and over again in the scripture. And when we do that, the Lord has mercy on us. He saves us. And what he is saving us from is the absence of his presence. When we are born with the Imago Dei, the image of God. And what happens is that image of God is such that we are designed for fellowship with him and with one another. That's why the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second like unto it is to love our neighbor as ourself. The relationship then with God, if we desire, becomes a reality not only in time, but also in eternity. So we recognize salvation as what it is very simply communicated as in the scriptures, and that is that Jesus did what we could not do so that we could be reconciled to God for time and for eternity. So the desire of the heart, the willingness to turn, a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the will is what repentance and turning on the road of life is all about.
It just seems strange to me that I know at different points in my life I've thought sincerely, you know, I've recognized my sin and wanted to be saved, wanted something different, wanted that intellectual ascension to be a Christian, to be, you know, on the right path. But then I find myself 5 years down the road and I've completely basically lost touch with faith in general. And I don't know.
But there are reasons for that, right? There are reasons for that. If you do not nurture a relationship with the Lord, how can that relationship become real and vibrant? Christianity is not just an intellectual head fake where once you believed in one set of logical truth propositions and now you believe in another set of logical truth propositions. Christianity is far more than that. Christ not only saved us by his death, he saves us unto his life. We can become partakers of the divine nature. But what it takes to experience Christ in that way is cultivating the relationship. And the way we cultivate our relationship with Christ is through means. We cultivate it through prayer. That's communication with the divine. We cultivate it through getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into us. That is communication with the one who inspired the Scriptures and the biblical authors. We have that communion when we are part of a healthy, well-balanced church, which is to say that we're never called to faith in Christ in isolation. We're always called within a context, a fellowship of believers. Within that context, we partake of word and sacrament. Sacrament being most highly exalted in the Eucharist or the Lord's table, where we partake of the real presence of Christ so that we can live not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. But if all salvation is to someone is just an intellectual head fake, no wonder you're not experiencing the reality of a relationship with Christ. If you said to your wife, you know, I'm going to go through the process of marrying you, but don't expect any intimacy. Intimacy physically, mentally, spiritually, you would have a dead marriage. And the same thing is true in terms of our union with God. We need to be vitally connected to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and that is done through means. It doesn't happen by osmosis.
It would seem, in that case, that salvation is less of a omnipotent God step into your life and rearranging things and changing your heart. And it seems more like it's wherever you put your mind, that's what you become. And that confuses me because I always have expected some effort on God's part other than writing a book and then allowing me to read it and join.
Well, if you think about the if you think about the effort as you put it on God's part, think only about what Jesus Christ did so that we might be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. He suffered more than any man. He suffered more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity. He suffered not just physically, he suffered metaphysically so that we might be reconciled. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His passion on the cross is not a passive act. It is active reconciliation of those who place their trust in him. And again, Christ didn't just die for our sins, but he lives so that we might live, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. Be back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly, to make a gift that can transform lives, and receive C.S. Lewis's classic book, Mere Christianity, as our thanks. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. The article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Other topics include the theological vision of Pope Francis, Christian hip-hop, death with dignity and the Imago Dei, bears gone wild, responding to attacks on the portrayal of God in the Old Testament. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The great difficulty is to get modern audiences to realize that you are preaching Christianity solely and simply because you think it is true. They always suppose you're preaching it because you like it. Now, a clearly maintained distinction between what the faith actually says and what you would like it to have said forces your audience to realize that you are tied to your data just as the scientist is tied by the results of the experiments, that you are not just saying what you like. This immediately helps them realize that what is being discussed is a question about objective fact. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.